Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. A little post-Cleveland action, kind of delayed, but also post-weekend, week 14 it was in the NFL. It's always 1 week more than the number of games you played. That's another one of those tricky things that they came up with in New York. So week 14 of the NFL schedule, nothing really went well for the Steelers. Just looking at that real quick.
You don't think?
Well, Cincinnati lost.
Yes.
That was not a good thing.
You don't think?
No.
How come?
Because I wanted Cincinnati to remain interested enough where when they played Baltimore on January 2nd, they would still be interested.
Maybe now they don't clinch before then.
What do you mean they don't clinch it before?
Maybe they don't clinch a wild card spot.
The Bengals clinch. Well, I think they're more out. They're way closer to being out of it.
Well, they're on the outside looking in now, so the games are important.
Well,
there's actually a better chance that game will be important now.
But I'm not,
because they lost.
I'm not as well. Okay, you're expecting them to bounce back. I see this when you lose on the last play of the game like that. I think that might be the those blood and guts Bengals. I don't know. I don't know if they still have it or not.
I think you're underestimating the coaching acumen of Marvin Lewis and the support of 41,000 Ohioans.
Yes, I am exactly doing that. The other thing was the 49ers lost.
Yes.
Which now makes them more interested in Monday night because they're threatening to lose the bye and the week off to the Saints.
So they're suddenly going to figure out how to score in the red zone. Protect their pass.
I'm just talking about the outcomes of the games.
To me, they're showing you how vulnerable they are.
But if they were showing you how
vulnerable. You're looking at the half empty side today. I'm looking at the half full side.
Okay, let's keep it on the half empty. Tebow, if Tebow lost, and you notice now, you don't even have to call that team by its real name. It's just Tebow. If Tebow lost, the Steelers would have, in fact, clinched the playoff spot.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to paint a rosy picture on
I'm not. And, in fact, that's the one. Okay. That one might be three-quarters empty because given the way it's set up with the Steelers, if the playoffs began today, they would play at Denver. And given the way the Steelers have periodically played down to their competition this year, and given that you could look at Tebow and say, if you were a Steelers player, there's no way we're losing to Tebow. That one would make me a little uncomfortable, quite frankly, that matchup.
And let's see what else happened that I wasn't really excited about. Well, the Eagles won. I always hate when that happens.
Yeah. But the Cowboys lost.
The Cowboys lost, too. And
kind of looked like the Cowboys doing it.
Hey, right. And the way it happened, I mean, that always made me feel good.
Shots at Jerry Jones right at the end of the game.
Yes.
With that look on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was quite pleasing. But I don't know. To me, it just week 14 of the NFL schedule – there wasn't a whole lot I liked. I mean, what we saw Thursday night got the job done. But, you mentioned earlier about playing down to the competition.
Yes, I did.
You got to play down some to get to those Cleveland Browns shirts. And, wow.
Yeah, if you can look back at that game and remember it for something other than Ben Roethlisberger's Phoenix-like rise. Defense got gashed on some plays. Didn't give up a touchdown all night. And as Brett Kiesel so eloquently put it, if you don't give up a touchdown, you have a pretty good chance to win. So I don't want to, it's kind of nitpicking the defense, but there were some long runs and long passes that surprised me. And offensively,
right. A lot worse than that.
It shouldn't be 7 points with 5 minutes left.
Right, against the Browns
or
again.
4 minutes left or 3 minutes left.
And, the penalties, a dozen penalties. That was bad. You had three major penalties on Chris Kimoyatu, two false start penalties on Marcus Gilbert. That's a bunch there on that unit.
Couple personal fouls on defense.
You also had
one at least was controllable, if not both.
The Ferrier one, I think, was
no excuse for it.
Right. I mean, he just lost his mind for 5 seconds, or not even a half a second.
However long it took for him to hit the guy when he was 3 feet out of bounds.
Well, like, again, it was stupid and uncharacteristic. You know, the other one is going to be, I don't see that really. My opinion on a lot of this now is it's almost meaningless to argue, like, what the rule book says and, you know, what the replays show or any of those kind of things. I really believe that these kind of things are adjudicated and then discipline is meted out based on, you know, the agenda that the league has, and we know what that agenda is. And James Harrison is a high-profile player, and the Steelers are a team that, you know, they're trying to get under the heel of their boot. And so I think it's going to be ugly. I don't believe that it rises to the level of suspension because, again, you know, it was a football act that happened. I don't believe intent can be formed in that amount of time in terms of trying to injure someone. The fact that you can say that the technique was poor or against the rules or however you want to describe it, again, I don't know that you can argue that anymore because they're not hearing it. People have compared it to what Ndamukong Suh did. I don't see it.
That's a ridiculous comparison. The Suh thing was after the play.
Right.
The one guy was already down, and you never stomp on a guy. You just don't do that.
Okay. And that rises to the level of suspension to me.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with that. I don't think they suspend it. To me, there seems to be some gray area. Maybe you can clear this up. If the quarterback becomes a runner, then he is subject to runner rules.
That is
clearly what James Harrison thought.
Yes.
Now, can he quickly become a passer again behind the line of scrimmage and be a passer again? Or was that a runner throwing?
Well, but see, the one view that I saw of it, Colt McCoy actually had the ball tucked.
Tucked it. Wasn't floating out of the pocket with the ball up by his ear, looking,
right.
Extending a play. He had decided to run.
Yes.
And then he thought, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, there's a guy.
My man over here.
So that's why.
Better he gets hit than me.
And I think that, you know, that is a somewhat legitimate argument to make. And again.
Yeah, if we're going to talk logically, which again, they're not going to do.
They're not going to do.
But.
So that's why I think that, you know, to me, suspension is just ridiculous and should be off the table.
Yeah. Now, that said, I think James Harrison, and he said after the game he thought he was a runner.
Yeah.
And that the rules don't apply when you're a runner. I think he thought, I get a free shot at this guy.
Well, that's fine.
And pow. And I think the bottom line would be, James Harrison especially ought to know this by now, don't hit a guy in the helmet with your helmet. No good can come of that. It's going to come back on you in some way, and it's not going to be good. It's not worth it. He could have tackled him. He took his shot. He's going to have to take whatever's coming down the line next.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing, though, and this is why the game to me is losing its way, because if that's Peyton Hillis, there's not even a penalty flag. There is not even a penalty
flag.
That
is correct. But it wasn't.
I know.
And there was.
What I'm saying is this is what's wrong with the way the game is going, in my opinion. Because if that's Peyton Hillis or Rashard Mendenhall or, I don't know, Ogbonnaya or any of the running backs in that game, Weldy Moore.
Monterio Hardesty.
Bingo. I mean, we're not even talking about this. And, you know, so that's, again.
It's unfortunate, but I think, especially if you're the Steelers right now, you got to stick your foot in the water and gauge the temperature and know how to respond to it. So you can keep raging against this machine and chasing this windmill until you're blue in the face, but you're not winning this.
Or you're just continuing to use it to rally around.
Well, they should have some real good rallying cries coming up here.
This week.
You know, James Ferrier speculated today down in the locker room that Wednesday they'd know. James Harrison said he hadn't heard anything yet, wasn't going to worry about it till whatever happened.
Yeah.
Something's going to come down, right?
I mean, oh, it has to. And this will be
when they're leaking to Jason LaConfora that he might get suspended.
Right.
Well, you know it's not going to be a $20,000 fine.
Right, and I think they do that on purpose. anyway.
I don't think there's any question.
No, no, but what I'm not leaked to him, but what they're leaking in this
particular... Oh, I want a little fear of God out there, certainly. Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, because, not that they're obviously feeding him most of the stories.
Which they obviously do.
Yes.
The ones they're not feeding to Adam Schefter.
That doesn't bother me.
I mean, I would... You know, and
you know why, Bob? Because it's the way it is.
Yeah.
And I can bang my head against the wall.
Or rage against the machine.
And chase the windmill, and it's not going to change it. So I just got to adjust and live with it, or I got to do something else. It's the way it is.
But just think, though, just for a moment, just think how easy it would be to be.
If you covered hockey for 8 years, and all of a sudden you knew every football story there was?
No. If you, you got to, all you had to do was, like, answer your phone. And you became an NFL insider, yeah. And they put you on TV and made you and portrayed you as really smart. And really, all you have to do is answer your cell phone.
But then I wouldn't get to do this 3 days a week. So.
No, probably not. You would never stoop. I mean, an NFL insider would never stoop to doing
well,
this with
no,
me.
Well, no, if I was an NFL insider.
The red zone offense, too.
Let me just go back to the locker room for a minute.
Okay.
Pouncey says he's playing.
Does that surprise you?
I said, you mean like you're playing in the Super Bowl last year, that kind of playing? He said, no, I'm going to play. I think he used the word three times. He says he's playing. He said, this one's much better than the first one, which it's my understanding that
right,
is, in
with
fact,
that injury,
medically.
Yes.
He thinks Ben Roethlisberger's playing. Max Stark said it wouldn't surprise him at all if Ben Roethlisberger played. Lamar Woodley was in and out a couple times, tried to chase him down. He's faster than me.
So the hamstring showed a little resiliency.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm pretty slow. But all I got out of him was too early, day to day. I don't know.
Yeah.
And James Farrar did not want to address anything regarding the potential scenario where they don't have either James Harrison or Lamar Woodley. He just wasn't going there.
Yeah. Well, the suspension thing to me, I as you said, I think they're trying to put the fear of God out there. But when it all comes down to it, I think it's just going to be a pretty big number.
Then again, you never know.
Oh, right. You never do. I did see Ben leaving the facility, had a boot on, had one crutch, kind of was using the crutch in a way that he really didn't seem like he really needed it, but – He was using it anyway, you know what I mean, walking along. So I don't know what that means, but that's what I saw.
Yeah, I Pouncey leaving the locker room after the game seemed relatively unaffected. He was in a boot also. That was going back to Thursday. His one ankle was not grotesquely colored in relation to the other one or –
bigger.
Yeah, he looked fine. I actually think he might play. Play.
Play.
Because we all know that Super Bowl stuff was nonsense.
What, that he was going to play?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes. He, in his own head, I mean, I think that, and this is just the kind of, this really speaks to the kind of competitor he is. I don't think it was in his own head, but I mean, just about in everyone else's, you know, barring a trip to Lourdes or some sort of Lourdes being mailed to him there, and well, you couldn't get any mail there because the roads were iced over, so forget that. Back to the game. You know, all those hearts and flowers we were throwing at the red zone offense after that.
Went away, didn't it?
Wow. Whew. Ugly. Ugly. And, you know, actually, the statistics don't even reflect how truly bad it was, because I think it was on Heath Miller's fumble.
It was on Hines's.
Hines's. The last scrimmage was at the 21.
It was outside the red zone.
Yeah, so it doesn't count. But when he fumbled, he was inside the red zone. Right.
Once you're in the red zone, to me, you're in the red zone.
You're in the red zone. And so that was 1-for-4 with 2 that got nothing.
3
that got nothing. Oh, right. The 4 downs. Yeah.
It's below the line.
Below the line. That's about the nicest thing you could say about it. Just – I know your answer, but just for on the record, you going forward on 4th and 1?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I don't.
And I know Ben was limited, and then 2/3 of the playbook was out to lunch because he was limited and couldn't execute it, but I just line up and knock it
in. They're the 29th run defense in the NFL.
And if not, and you do what you did. If you don't make it, they're on the 1-yard line or wherever. They're not going anywhere.
No, they should.
So they punt it. You get the ball plus 50. Could have got your field goal then.
Right.
Didn't happen because of an interception, right?
Right.
It was the right thing to do.
I agree. You know, you got any problem with the place?
No, I mean, there wasn't much that you could have done.
Right.
Rashard Mendenhall knows his way in the end zone. Cleveland, according to our colleague Tunch Yilkin, did an adjustment on the fly with Chris Gokong and positioned
him. Made him a safety.
In a spot where he was unaccounted for, and he's a pretty good tackler in close, as we found out when he's unaccounted for.
Yeah.
So half credit to them, but, you know, did I say something earlier today about playing down to the level of competition?
Yeah, this might be this team's.
That's part of the DNA this year.
Yeah, part of the luggage, yeah.
So you shouldn't have to worry about that in the postseason because everybody's supposed to be good and a threat, but what if it's Tebow?
Oh, I think Tebow is. I think that it might be easier to sell Tebow than it would be the Raiders. Don't you?
No.
Well, it would be. I don't know.
I wonder, and I have not done a poll or investigated this all. I wonder what the players think of Tebow. If everybody's having a good laugh about it or if they're actually awed.
Well, I don't know about awed, but I'll tell you what I think gets their attention is 7-1.
It should.
I think that is you know, I heard Hines Ward talking about it on his show, and, you know, Tunch was kind of, you know, playing the other side as he introduced it, and that's where Hines went right away, you know, his record. And he was like, you know, when you're winning games, you know, you have a credibility in your own locker room, and then if you're winning games, you know, opponents either respect that or they become another statistic on your record, resume. So, I don't know. The Tebow
thing. So he's either that good or nobody's buying it still.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what it is. I really, you know, their defense is because I think if you get up, you know, if you get 21 points in the first half, they cannot then.
But their defense ain't helping them when it's 2 minutes and 8 seconds left and it's 10-0 the other
well,
guys.
Well, there's some serious luck involved. I mean, when the guy makes a 59-yard field goal to tie in the last play of that regulation or whatever that was, I think that is luck. I don't know that you can really credit whoever the quarterback is. That one to me is on the kicker, 59-yard field goal.
I think Tebow kicked it.
Maybe he did. You know, maybe he did. Nothing would surprise me.
It was either that or he went over and put his hand on the guy's foot during the timeout.
Remember the Hoosiers, the movie Hoosiers.
Make it a good one, Strap.
Make it a good one, Strap. hey, whatever. Whatever works. I don't think that would work for me, though. I don't have that kind of pull. Well, I guess tomorrow will be interesting. Why will tomorrow be interesting?
Because it's Tomlin Tuesday.
Well, it's Tomlin Tuesday, but it might be Tap Dance Tuesday as well with the Ben injury. Don't you think? I mean, there's not going to be any – you know, he's not going to say.
Yeah, I guess not.
Okay, let's just throw this out. I'm going to throw this out there. I want you to think about it. I'm going to think about it. If Ben can't, it should be Batch. Agree or disagree? Stay tuned. That'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Prasuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow after the Mike Tomlin News Conference.